I'm speaking with Lori Ojic from the community of Kitigan Zibi. Lori, welcome to No One's Legal Radio.
Thank you.
Lori, you've been struggling and fighting for justice in the case of your daughter who has been disappeared since September 6, 2008. You have written and spoken out about the incompetence, the unprofessionalism, the uncooperativeness, and the unaccountability of various police services. Could you talk to our listeners more about that and why you have said that police services in your community and also the Sûreté de Québec have been incompetent, unprofessional, uncooperative, and unaccountable in striving to seek justice and answers in the disappearance of your daughter, Maisie Ojic?
For me, it's just been a struggle from the beginning when Maisie and our friend Shannon disappeared because nothing was done. It was myself who had to, you know, go out and get media to come in, and it was also myself who started this first couple ground searches that we had, just with family and friends. And it also took me about a month and a half for them just to come and get the computers out of our home to get them analyzed or whatever they do. So, there was no ground searches, there was no alerts put out for the girls. So basically, there was nothing done, and I want to see justice for my daughter because I believe her rights have been violated without getting a proper investigation from the beginning.
As the mother of Maisie, you've written and talked about your right to services, your right to justice, and your right to support in locating your daughter. Could you speak more about what you mean by those services, by that justice, and by that support?
It has nothing to do with well, for me, there was no one here. I mean, there was no media. The first call for help, plea for help that we did, we only had the local newspaper and APTN here. And for me, that was pretty pathetic because, you know, these are two Native girls who've gone missing. Is it because they're Native that they got the lack of support from the media? I wouldn't like to think so, because I myself ain't a person like that, and there was no one here to help. We didn't know where to turn as for services on where we can go for help. There was no one. All we would get would be a card and say, here, you know, and that's just parents. I mean, there's not only myself, there's parents out there with missing children, and I'm sure they too didn't know where to turn, because I sure didn't. My family felt like a pea in this big world with no help. And I want to see a change in that because you're lost already. So it shouldn't have to be the family that goes out for help. It should already be there offered for us on what our rights are and what we can do. And like I said, we just don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And I have to do a lot of my own research. And even at first, the Native organizations didn't approach us or talk to us or tell us these things. But now they're with us, which is great. But it shouldn't have to be me going out and asking for it. You know what I'm saying? It should have been offered their services and their help. But now we're getting a lot of support finally from Native organizations. And I just want to see help for families like us. And I am going to fight for that and, you know, push for something that there would be a team that would go out and help any family who is going through this. And I know sometimes we still feel alone because we're here in the community and I don't have any. The police, I could count on my one hand how many times the police have called me to talk about my daughter's file or case. And for them, well, you know, everything that we're going through right now is just a struggle every day.
Laura, you've spoken also about your dissatisfaction with the chief and council of the Kitigan Zibi Anishinaabeg community. Could you speak about their role and their lack of a response in providing answers and support in the disappearance of your daughter Maisie and her friend?
I was really just disappointed with our chief and council here because I was the one who had to go to them. I mean, they didn't offer their support from the beginning. It was myself who made the first phone call to our chief to help bring in the media, and I feel that they should have called me because they're our community leaders, and they have those resources which weren't offered to me from the beginning. And for me also with our chief and council is that they're the employers of our police department here on the reserve, and I've been asking them for help for getting answers to my questions, and it's been a struggle with that, and that's the problem I'm having here, because I guess it's all about not stepping on toes, and they're doing the best they can. Well, from the beginning I feel they didn't do the best they can from the very beginning, and there's no accountability, there's none, because I know it was lacking. From the very beginning, and I mentioned that because I was when that boy Brandon Crisp went missing, my husband and I watched on TV how the police services should act. Their support that they got from the community, the support they got from the police services, and the job that was well done by them, and I believe it's because they had policy and procedure to follow, and they followed it to a T. And what was bothering me is that Brandon also was deemed a runaway from the beginning because he was upset with his parents, if you remember that. And these girls, my daughter and her friend, were also put on the runaway list from the very beginning, but still nothing was done for them. So, and I also know that I know our police department here does not have policy and procedure for missing children or missing persons. So I'd like to see that changed also, because I honestly believe they didn't know what they were really doing at the time. And it was quoted that my daughter is a learning experience. Well, you know what? She shouldn't have had to be that learning experience. She should have got the response that any other child would have gotten, and they didn't.
You've alluded to this in your previous responses, but how do you account for the double standard by the police services and by various actors and players within both Native and non-Native society? What accounts for this double standard in your mind?
I'm always a person that, I'm not prejudiced or I don't like to see things that way. I really don't. But, after going through all of this, I see it. It's just, even with the Sûreté du Québec, I don't understand, they gave me this runaround because I was always questioning them, why did my daughter's file get handed over to the Kitigan-Zibi Police Department when my daughter went missing in the town of Maniwaki, and where our police don't have no jurisdiction. And I got this, for me, it's a lame excuse because it's written in the law, in the police agreement, that there's a border in town, and they just gave me the answer, well, Maisie lives on reserve and Shannon lives off. Well, according to their law thing, whatever you call it, it's where it happened, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they went missing in the town of Maniwaki, so it should have been their jurisdiction. But what questions my head is, why would they want to separate the files from the beginning? When these two girls went missing together, why would they want to separate them? And now they have this, they're using this jurisdictional wall where when I try to call and get information, well, it's like I have to talk to our police on the reserve and vice versa. So for me, I don't know, I don't understand it. I really don't. I just don't understand. And like I said, it's just a struggle every day because, nothing seems to be getting done. So,
Lori Ojik, thank you for taking the time to speak with us on No One Is Legal Radio.
And thank you. Thank you very much.